Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
John the Baptist had powerful words for the rapt audiences which came out to him in the desert of the need for repentance and right living. He had wild hair and weird clothes. I'm getting a picture of Bob Geldof in fancy dress. He certainly refused to mince his words. He was abrasive, insulting, almost mean at times, and this has got him into prison, awaiting inevitable execution. And he's beginning to wonder if Jesus really is the one, the very same person who devoted his life to preparing the way of the Lord, is starting to have doubts. Was it worth it? Did he really do the right thing with his life? All that time, all that sacrifice, for what? It would be tempting to skip over this part of the story and get right to the answer from Jesus. But I think it's important to sit with John in prison for a few moments before we get to the good news in this reading. He was put there by King Herod. He will eventually die. But I don't think that any of that is what was troubling John. It seems that he was beginning to doubt, beginning to lose his faith that Jesus is the promised Messiah, because Jesus was not doing what was expected of a Messiah. Rome was still in power. Herod was as corrupt as ever. Jesus had not yet overthrown all this and restored Israel. And it seemed unlikely that he would, well, not in the way people expected. Why is he different to expectations? We don't usually think of John the Baptist as being a role model for doubters. Perhaps we should. But what John the Baptist does next is exemplary. He sends words by his disciples to ask Jesus a poignant, heartfelt question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? We can still doubt, even when we have faith, just like John the Baptist. We can find ourselves in a place where our faith starts shaking and crumbling. But when we do, no one is greater than John the Baptist, according to Jesus. So if he has those moments, we should expect them too. I know a lot of you know my testimony that at the age of 3, growing up in a household where the adults had, you know, genuine sadness at real events that had happened in their lives, God spoke to me in a church garden and said, "Be joyful. You can be joyful and happy and spread joy in this family." And I moved joyfully. I learned joyfulness, and then it became a habit. And I moved joyfully towards ministry. And then when I finally made it, after bringing my children up, I came here and I had a real crisis of confidence about public speaking. I speak all the time at work, but it just went. And I was really sort of doubting why I was there. It made me think, is this what God wants? Because I just had no confidence. But you lot really sort of encouraged me. I know I came out in the wrong clothes and not fully attired at St. Nick's. I often left, and you lot, left you standing for ages because I couldn't even see that you were still standing when I was so nervous. At St. Nick's, I would flick forward in the slides and then flick backwards. And I just really, you know, every time I'd beat myself up afterwards. But you lot sort of loved me back. And even though in my darkest hour, I did begin to think, did God really speak to me when I was 3? You know, have I distorted my memories? But no, it was only in those darkest hours. But it does mean that we can all doubt. We can all have those moments of doubt. My favourite expression about Christian doubt is, what if the hokey cokey really is what it's all about? But what would we do when this happens? Here is why John the Baptist is so important, because he shows us the way forward. When we have questions in life or even doubts, we should take them to God in prayer. John asks Jesus if he is the one. The way that we can do the same thing is through prayer. Talk to Jesus and ask him to help us with our questions. When we doubt, what better thing to do than to pray? To ask the questions that are leading us to doubt, but to ask them directly to the one we doubt. And then Jesus says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's exactly what was foretold in Isaiah in our reading. So it was foretold in our reading, and then Jesus was actually doing it. Scripture is being fulfilled. Maybe not in the expected ways, but in ways that are promised by those prophets of old. There are real, tangible signs that God is at work in Jesus, that he is the one that John was waiting for. Jesus is the Messiah, and blessed are all those who believe in it. Now, Jesus' answer doesn't change the circumstances of our life, but what it does for John is far more significant. It gives him hope. Now John can accept his fate, whatever it may be, knowing that his life's work was not in vain. The Old Testament reading had been fulfilled. He could see that was Jesus' answer to him. And that is what true faith is all about. And that is what true faith gives us. True faith gives us true hope. Jesus invites us to look around, to see the beautiful in this world, to receive again the gift of life in all its fullness, and to trust God's sometimes slow work. Joy is not the absence of sadness. Instead, joy is confidence that God is in control and is taking care of things. He has come. Kneel with wonder and in adoration of the child in the manger. Believe in the Saviour born for us, who grew up to heal and to teach and to proclaim good news, who dies and who rose again, and who promises to return to bring the kingdom of God in all its fullness. And we chosen ones must go and tell those who doubt what we hear and see. Go and tell those who are grieving, those who are lonely, those who are struggling in life, those who are fighting any kind of battle, and isn't everyone. Go and tell them that we have a God who loves them and who promises to be with them and us always. We know how the story ends, and that makes us greater than John the Baptist, according to Jesus. And why is he saying that? It's because we know the Easter story. We live post-Easter. Or if you don't want us to think that we're greater than John the Baptist, just believe that we're more blessed than him. And because of this, we are called to share our faith with everyone who visits our lovely churches over the coming days, and to answer the doubting through our smiles, our words, our volunteering for any task, however humble, that everyone at one time or another is bound to ask, are you the one, Lord, or are we waiting for another? Let's show them that Jesus is the one, the world's saviour, resurrection and the life.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.